Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Film Hustlers.
You almost said welcome to Beautiful Darkness. I can tell.
Welcome to Beautiful Darkness. I often want to say welcome to Let's Get Into It.
What? Old school? Oh, old school?
Yeah, I do. I like it. I still like that name. I miss it a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, welcome to the show. It's an exciting week. Half exciting, half a bummer, right? Because the WGA continues to be striking.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to make of that.
Dude, it's so crazy the stuff that I'm hearing about this AI and stuff. So I heard that it's written scripts and the scripts are good. But what they're doing is they're hiring a writer to come in and punch it up and add things.
Right.
That's what's crazy. And then I heard, which was even crazier, that now they're looking for actors to sign over likeness. Because you could do, have you seen the stuff that they could do with voices and stuff? Songs that people don't even sing and they put it in their voice. Yep. It's amazing. And that they want to do like holograms of people.
Yeah, that's not gonna work. There's no way.
You don't think?
No.
I don't know, Davey Dave. Who would have thought this?
I mean, eventually everything's gonna be possible.
But
no matter what, like, I think it's scary because I think there's this misconception that the minute you get into show business, you're just making millions of dollars.
What? It's a blue collar. This is a blue collar job.
So yeah. People have minimums. People have to put in months of work before you get a script. You know, so I think there's a misconception that all these super high paid people are out there, you know, crying about whatever, about their pay. But everyone gets paid well for the work that they do, but you have to measure it up to what amounts of money they're making selling the product, right? Yeah. Streamers are hard to figure out because you figure a streamer's charging you, I don't know, $19 a month.
Yeah.
Your family's watching the content. There's millions and millions of people, hundreds of millions of people paying the streamer. And then the streamer is on the stock market too.
Yeah.
So there's all these shareholders, and then the product isn't making any additional money no matter what, right? So they make the product, they get paid for it, and then there's no additional money. Now, I'm not an expert, but I would think that all these people at the union, WGA, DGA, Screen Actors Guild, are upset because they're not getting fair wages, or they're not getting, you know, they're not getting paid for things that they think they should be being paid for. Yeah. And, you know, they must have a good reason. I wanted to call Rick Nahara, who's a working writer, and he's been out on the picket lines. Actually, he's been picketing.
Oh, has he been?
Yeah, he's been picketing in front of Netflix. But I want to get him on the phone and talk to him about what he thinks. I wonder if he'll have anything good to say. Rick Nahara is one of our finest Latino writers. Friend of the show, you've succeeded in an area of show business that, you know, most people are never going to see. You were one of the writers, Latino writers, first Latino, maybe the only Latino writer. I don't think the only one, but definitely the one of them on In Living Color, which was a legendary show, right?
I was the only Latino writer.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And I tip my hat to you that you were working in that amazing comedic genius room, and you were holding your own, coming up with sketches for Keenan and for
Jamie Foxx
and Jim Carrey.
Actually,
there were two other writers in Living Color, not writers. There were two other Latinos in Living Color, and I was friends with both of them. One was Jennifer Lopez and Rosie.
That's so right. They danced on the show, right?
Yeah. So we would have lunch together. So we and also what I did is I would make sure when I hired Latinos, the guys that were the security would come into my office every night. They're like, "Hey, man, it really makes me proud. You're working here. You know what I'm saying? Like you're here, man. You're representing, all right?" They're basically East Los security guards.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people that really really cheered me on.
Well, you did.
So I didn't feel I was doing it alone.
You did great work on that. You ended up writing, God, I think, wasn't it like 24 episodes of East Los High? Like, it was a lot of episodes.
I did In Living Color and East Los High and films like Nothing Like the Holidays and continued to work. I plays. I wrote a play that was on Broadway called Latino Logs.
Oh, yeah, Latino Logs. That was an awesome. I think Mario Lopez was in there. Everybody, every Latino in the business has been in that play.
Yeah, Yeah, it's been a remarkable run.
And you're good friends with Eddie Olmos, so you're an activist by association.
Yeah, Eddie is family because he's the godfather to my son. We live three blocks away from each other, so we have a good and great relationship. But it's funny because we don't really talk about the business when we meet. We're always but for some reason it hit me. I was like, my son wants to be an actor. I'm thinking, Julian, ask him about acting.
I called Eddie the other day. I mentioned that the WGA was on strike. You know what he said to me?
What?
Orale.
No, he did not, liar.
I'm kidding. Wait, he wouldn't take my phone call. He thinks I'm asking him to be in a movie. But okay, so look, I wanted to get back into what we were talking about because WGA is on strike. I want to make sure I hear what you're saying and that you're clear. I know that you've been on the picket line. I saw you at Netflix. Have you picketed any other studios?
Yes, I picketed Paramount, and since I'm in the Latinx writers group, they had me picket Telemundo.
So when you picket places where you really want, where you would love to be working and getting paid to work, does it feel weird?
Sure, because whenever I speak out, I you see the executives crossing the line. They see you. Part of you goes, I may be hurting my future chances, but that's just something you have to do. You can't think about it, but it always crosses your mind.
Would you do me a favor and make notes of the executives you see so that you and I don't go in to pitch them?
Yeah, I will.
Well, look, Davey, Dave, myself, Rod, who's Rod? Tootie, are behind the Writers Guild and behind Fair Pay.
Yep.
We want writers to get what they deserve, to get what they're working for. You were talking about minorities and women in writers' rooms. I've been lucky enough to know and be working with a lot of female writers that are terrific and have spent many, many hours in writing rooms and on various different shows. So is there a discrepancy there?
In terms of numbers, there always is going to be a discrepancy. Yes, there is hope. I mean, there is changing. You have to remember, I think Latinos are like 3% of the writers still. It's not a heavy number. People in those positions are very rare. I think I was on a plane once with Josefina Lopez and I think Leah Villalobos, one other writer, and it's like, if this plane goes down, they've wiped out one-third of the writers in L.A. at one point, or Latino.
But why is that? Is it because of the studios, or is it because there's just not that many writers coming out of East Los Angeles or Mexico or whatever? I don't know.
I think a lot of the problem was many people, we're more of an immigrant culture. And because of it, most parents aren't going to say, I want you to be a writer. It's you're actually... they're not going to do it. My family did. My family were always very proud of whatever I did. So that I had a great deal of support. But a lot of times, when they're saying, pick a career, a lot of times for people that are new to the country or second generation or even first, you'll tend to pick careers that, hey, writing is still a gamble all the time. I describe it as creating something out of air. Me and you have pitched together and come up with ideas. You're talking, what about this? What about that? And you're making something out of air that eventually is breathed life into. So it's very speculative.
In a nutshell, what are the top issues?
I would say the top issue is increase in pay. More and more writers are not working enough to survive. So if you get a job, this may be a job for a year or two. You may not get another one. So if you're paid well for it, I think that's the opportunity they can survive during the hard times.
That's one issue that I think, makes sense and you're right about. And I think the writers, deserve more pay because there's less opportunities. Because I will say this, and I think I understand this pretty well. When Frasier was on TV, when Cheers was on TV, these shows made people millionaires, right? 10, 20, yeah. 100 times over. And it was because of how the network works, right? So as Frasier and Friends became hits, they became lead-in shows, right? So if Friends was the number one show on Thursday night at 8 p.m., then they'd introduce new shows that would screen directly following Friends, and then that show would become a hit, but they weren't paying as much for the second show, so they would sell advertising on both shows and sort of even out and get their money back and end up making a lot more money. That's not how it works anymore.
No, now what's happening is Netflix is the buyer and the showrunners are the CEOs.
Right.
So the CEOs are making hundreds of millions of dollars and all sorts of pay.
There's some dinosaurs surviving, like we were talking about earlier, like CSI. What else?
Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, Grey's Anatomy. So all these shows have survived, but they also started 20 years ago. There's nothing that's been on, or not that much that's been on lately, that's surviving four, five, six, seven seasons. And isn't that just how the business is now? I mean, I binge watched a bunch of shows while I was in Toronto. In a weekend, I watched entire seasons of shows. But I don't know that because we have that opportunity now, I think you're watching TV differently. And sometimes, you know, it's not going to be necessary to go into an eighth, ninth, tenth season. But there's also a lot more opportunity because there's a lot more shows being made than ever before. Is that not true?
Well, there are a lot more shows being made for less money. And so as the business fractures, what happens is you have a lot of shows, very little money. So I can literally tell you that when I was on East Los High, you know, it was it was being sold under the WGA contract. I forget what it was New Media, and so people weren't paid that well. But I was paid. You know, I made a few thousand, you know, a salary and all that stuff, and I eventually got residuals, but a new writer starting was being paid less. In fact, the actors were getting paid like $2,000 a week. Their pictures were on every billboard, and all this, and you would look at them and go, "Oh my God, they must be making a living," and they weren't.
Right.
I would take the lunch. So the worst thing in the world is to be famous and be poor.
Yeah. Well,
you could be poor and go, you know, something. We're all poor. But when you're famous and they're looking at you and you don't make the money to sustain it or live a normal life.
So because I was on Access Hollywood promoting Made in Mexico and because I was on KTLA, everybody thinks Made in Mexico made a bunch of money. I'm in the hole. Like, we didn't make a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, we broke even, but I'm not reaping in anything. And they're like, "Well, you were there. You were on the. I saw you with Mario on that show, and you're posting about it, and it's on this streamer." And I'm like, "Yeah, and like, it's not. It doesn't equal dollars yet."
You know, it doesn't, and that's the thing that's hard for people to realize is like, I was on, you know, local comedy jams and all sorts of different comedy shows, and you know, they paid me what, $600 to be on the air, and then it was done. so I look at it and I go, you know. It's hard to make a living, and but minorities, we're used to it. We're used to saying, you know, like I have a movie out right now that I'm in. You know, it's one stream of, I have Latino Thought Makers. It's a live entertainment show that I do. I have a play that's going to open in Chicago. I've always done many things.
You're busy.
To survive, I've had to. But more and more, it's getting harder and harder for other people. And, you know, we have a mentality as Latinos that we will work. Our purpose is to work. We want to work. And in the field of theater and television and writing and all these things, we want to work in those fields too. Because why is it, you know, that I'm the only Mexican-American who wrote and started a play on Broadway? There should be more. There should be more opportunity. And in fact, this is what's happening in our world of people not having the opportunities, and we're seeing ourselves less and less. Like when the AI and the algorithms and all that look at a show, and this they have the data. They can look at a show and go, you know something? Maybe we don't have to put on a Latino show.
But maybe. Well, if AI says that, I think they're right.
No, they're not. Because I can sit there and go, hey, I can go this way. You put the facts in the computer, and you go, is salsa good? It's the number one condiment in the U.S. United States. Most accidents that have happened in Hollywood have not been planned.
I thought you were going to say are caused by salsa.
No, you're not.
Hey, I have a solution. Can I come to the table with a solution? So I think what we should do is we should give all writers 4-year contracts, 4 seasons. And if you get canceled in 2, the buyout money from the other 2 seasons is what you get paid when you leave the show.
That sounds good to me. Okay. I mean, it really does. I doubt we would do something like that.
See, but we can settle it right
here.
See you
in 2024, Rick.
That's it. No more picketing. Roberts came up with a solution.
Look, we'll set it this way. Me and Ted Sandros battle. We go box. Just us two. In the middle. We say the win. Old school. Mano a mano. I think what's going to happen is that people, unfortunately, will be hurt in this strike, and not just actors and everyone else, but everyone around the business, because this is an industry is the number one industry in many respects in California, and when people aren't working, the rest of the nation isn't working as well. So a strike only hurts everybody. So the greed of the few that is now the CEOs and all those in those positions is so much that I think that will have to be a reckoning. That maybe, you know, people will, they'll make less, and whereas people will bring up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because it is horrible, horrible greed. That really what it is. It's when people look and they go, you know, capitalism forgets that the tools of capitalism are the workers, and the workers are actually, you have to protect and be good to.
It's a tough business, Rick. And, you know, I hope it ends soon. I hope the writers and everyone else gets their new contracts and we can move on, because I like making money. I just want you to know that.
Oh, no. And look, Mark, you've been always great to me, and we're good friends and we've worked together. And you've always been very fair. If you were a CEO, yeah, I would suggest it to be done well.
Yeah, you
because
have.
Because there's, and I think there's examples of that, of people that look and go, I don't want to be the only rich guy in the room. I'd like to see other people gain wealth and have stability and all those things. But we're in more and more of a crueler world out there. We're seeing so much more homeless in the streets and other things like that, where people are only one paycheck away from being homeless. Mm-hmm. And you think of someone who's going to be a writer and is trying to be the dreamer of dreams and to make up the stories that inspire us all. And you don't pay that person, and they don't get the fruits of their labor. It's sad.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about, fair.
Well, fairness is important. And, you know, I agree with you. I would love for other people to buy me breakfast. That'd be awesome.
Yes, in fact, you could buy me a breakfast, because right now I'm on strike. So I'm not making the money.
You know what? You and many other writers I know are going to be just fine, because you're super talented and everything's going to work out. I do feel for anybody who is, you know, not making a whole lot of money and has to go out on strike. So big respect to WGA. I hope it ends soon so we can all get back to work and you guys get what you are asking for. But thanks for coming on the show and at least chatting with us a little bit about what's happening with WGA. We are in support.
Yes.
And we hope hope it ends soon, bud.
Thank you, guys.
Breakfast next week, okay?
You got it.
All right, man.
Bye.
Talk later.
Later, Nara.
There you go. That's what's happening with WGA.
So it's not about AI.
I'm still confused.
It's about greed.
I think it just blew up so fast that everybody thinks that, you know, it just hasn't had the chance to catch up yet. And maybe this is the time to catch up.
When people negotiate, there's always two sides of the table.
Yeah.
And people are negotiating for their side.
Yeah.
I suppose it could look greedy that a studio doesn't want to give more. Eventually they have to, right? If it's an equitable thing to give a writer and to give directors and to give actors a little bit more money, a percentage here or there,
yeah,
then they'll do it, because it's in the best interest of the business.
Yeah.
So I think it probably doesn't look good right now. I'm sure that WGA is not coming to the table all smiles and hugs either. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
These are lawyers, and lawyers aren't super nice to each other.
Right.
And they're trying to win their side. So, you know, everyone's putting up a hard fight. I hope no one gets hurt, because we're all in this business together. We all want to keep working together. So hopefully it comes out okay. And I would expect gladiators to fight hard. And I'm sure that that's what's happening.
Yeah. But going back to your point earlier about the Frasers and the Friends, and if you even go back further were like just films before TV. It everything's just gotten bigger with more options. So doesn't the money get kind of thinned out? I mean, think about all the shows. You binge watched how many shows over the weekend?
Well, no, I watched Squid Game in one weekend. I watched Ozark over a 2-week period. I watched every single, I think it had 4 seasons or something like that.
So there's more opportunity, but less amount of pay because there's more opportunity, correct?
Yeah, and people, right? Yes.
So, you know, before you would have a handful of shows and a handful of writers, now you got a bunch more shows with a bunch more writers, but they're just not, now the money's got to be distributed thinner.
Yeah, I think you're understanding it right.
Times are changing, like you said in the beginning.
Yeah, things are different. I think what Rick originally said.
They want fairness.
They want a little bit more money for the work that they're doing. Yeah. They want more people in the writer's room, and they don't want AI for free to do the work that they used to get paid for. I think those three things seem to be clear.
Yeah.
The rest of it, and I'm sure there's more, residuals and all that needs to be worked out by people that are smarter than us.
Right.
But clearly...
Well, I don't know. You came up with a pretty damn good solution earlier.
I don't think anyone's going to like that solution. But
what
it's
do you
a,
mean?
It's
you
a buyout.
For buyout for 4 seasons. That's
it's
pretty
great. It's a buyout,
great.
Right. It's a buyout. If you cancel me, I get like a little bit of a parachute so I can survive because I've been working on this for 2 years.
Yeah. You wet the beak.
I don't know. Yeah. Someone's going to be mad at
cost
me
of living,
that.
Bro. Cost of living.
No, but dude, I'm working 3 jobs.
That's why everybody's pissed.
Yeah, that's
what
it is.
You got 3 jobs?
I got 3 jobs right now.
That's amazing.
I was supposed to be at one right now, but 11 minutes ago, but I said I had to push it till 9 o'clock tonight, so I got to go work at 9 o'clock tonight.
Everyone's working hard. We respect the writers, and again, we're in support. Next week, we're going to have someone else on talking about what the writers are, where we're at in the writer's strike, what's going on. I don't know that we solved anything for anybody regarding the writer's strike, but...
I think we did. You just said it. So it's really like, I don't know. I'm still kind of confused.
When the strike's over... Everyone can get back to creating their content and going to extrememusic.com. Now, what I haven't done in a while, and I want to do it now, is I'm always talking about how on extrememusic.com you could pick a song and you love the song, but you don't like certain instruments. Or you love the song and the melody, but you want it just to be... drums, or you just want it to be guitar, right? And I've always been telling you guys about this automated system that they have where you can literally pick the instruments to have in the song and remove the ones that you don't. Yeah. So here's a song with all of the instrumentation. You hear that?
That's beautiful.
Beautiful sound. Here's the song with just one instrument.
Oh, I like that.
Same song.
That's good.
One instrument. But that's what I'm talking about. When I say like there's automation on this incredible site, you can even, it's almost like you're even like writing a little bit, right? You've chosen a song, but oh, I'd like this more. I'd like to up the tempo. These certain songs will give you that opportunity, and you can literally automate it and kind of mix it yourself and turn it into the song that works perfectly for your scene. So extrememusic.com, don't forget to look them up once the strike's over. Actually, you might as well start listening to music now while the strike's on.
You could. Davey Dave.
Get ahead.
Davey Dave, I got to talk to you about something. So we got that last pass about Beautiful Darkness, and I've sent it out to some filmmakers. Now, the pass before, I got some good notes, you know what I mean? But there was notes. This time, our very own Mark Roberts did the music. Using Extreme Music. You know what the number one thing that I got back was?
Who did your music?
Exactly. How great the music was, Roberts.
Well, it's Extreme Music, not me.
Well, no, you had to pick it. Trust me, it was a long
process.
You've got an ear. We went back and forth. There was times when you were missing the mark, but you ended up getting it. And the music is really, really good.
I'm passionate about how music fits with movies and the story that the music helps you tell. There are also moments when a film wants to be quiet. It doesn't want you to put music exactly. in it, you know? And we've had, I think I had too much music in the movie
there was,
at one
did.
Point. Yeah.
But,
yeah, but I think there's a beauty to the music from extreme music because 100% of extreme music's stuff is in Beautiful Darkness. And it did give me the opportunity to search the library, find the themes that we wanted, and, you know, end it like a big, huge studio movie, you know, with like a big score kind of feel, you know, where it's triumphant. The way you wrote it and the way you directed the end made it feel like Kaiser Soze to me. And I felt like it needed that kind of score at the end. It needed to be like this climactic, victorious moment for our lead.
Yeah.
And it was. And musically, without extreme music, I couldn't have done it.
Yeah, but then it goes back kind of mellow, like without giving stuff away.
Yeah, at the very end, to go to credits, it's beautiful. Yeah. But yeah, the movie's beautiful. We're going to be going to the LA International Film Festival. Yeah.
So many intricacies.
Intricacies, baby.
Intricacies, yes. But that was a fun show. I hope we've learned a little bit about what's happening with the WGA. You know, I mean, I think we'll get different information from Peter Marietta next week.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, that's what we got. The writer's strike's still raging. We're all friends. We all want to make product together. So hopefully no one gets too upset. We are 100% behind WGA and them getting what's fair.
Yeah.
So let's just keep praying for them and hope that it all works out and that we can all get to work soon.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I'll see you next week. Right here at Universal Studios, where we're going to cross a picket line to get here.
Yeah, I honk though when I see him. I wave. Am I supposed to do that?
I'm going in, but
they're throwing water bottles and rocks.
Oh, and I didn't know that. I'm all like supporting. Like, hey!
Thanks for listening to Extreme Music. No, that's not it. Thanks for listening to Film Hustlers.
I got to go back and cut out that stuff.